Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the country's number one most listened to internet talk station. Welcome to the couch. As always, a terrific show today. Fabulous writer. A woman who has experienced a lot in her life and has written three novels, actually. We're talking about her latest. It's called Accidents of Marriage. So maybe that title will give you a little hint that, of course, we're going to be talking about angry men or women as well, but people who've been battered in their relationships, people who have had to undergo, you know, a relationship with someone who's angry or, you know, who has not treated them well. That kind of thing. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. And let me encourage you guys, if you would like to call in, you can do so here on the line 323-203-0815 here in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. 323-203-0815. Or if you are shy, as I always say, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you're shy, you have questions for me or my special guest, go ahead, email us. Do it. You can do straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, all right? Or docmichelle@AOL. I get a lot of emails on that particular line. So go for it. Like I said, today we're talking about, well, accidents of marriage, but primarily about, you know, women who are in relationships with men who are angry, charming, narcissistic, possibly, have issues. And women who feel sometimes that they have to walk on eggshells or have to, for the sake of their sanity and also to keep the peace and also to help the kids who are sort of in the middle of it. So let me just jump right into it. I have my special guest on the line. Her name is Randi Susan Myers. Of course, she's the author of the book we're going to be talking about today, Accidents of Marriage. And she's also the author of The Comfort of Lies, really good novel, and The Murderer's Daughters, which was a finalist for the Massachusetts Book Award. You know, her family dramas are very psychological. Really interesting because she really creates these characters so well. But it's also because it's because of her work she has done with batterers and victims of domestic violence. So she knows how to create the reality that goes on behind the minds of couples and what's going on with children. And as well as her experience with youth, she's done a lot of work with kids impacted by street violence. So she's a good person who helps a lot of people and also in her novels. She's living in Boston and, of course, teaching writing seminars at the Grub Street Writer Center. Really great center, I've heard. And let's pull her up on the line right now. Randi Susan Myers, welcome to the couch.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to meet you via phone here in person, and I loved reading your book. It was very exciting. It's very hard to put down.
Thank you so much.
Really, really a good book. And, well, I mean, you know that I'm very interested in couples and relationships as part of what I do in my therapy. You know, I try to mend, you know, differences or misunderstandings, you know, how people can communicate better and cool off, yada, yada, yada. You know all that stuff. You've done that, Randi. But
I have. I've worked not with couples, but I have, well, separately, you know, when I worked with batterers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as counselor, but as a teacher, and they were mandated to come be in the groups. We also did contact with their partners at least four times during the period that the men were with us.
Interesting work, I bet. But
yeah,
the thing is, sometimes as much as we try to work with couples, and I don't want to discriminate, but I'm focusing on angry men right now because it's really the theme going on in your book, Accidents of Marriage. But despite our efforts to really try to get people to understand who they are, what's going on, try to get the couples together, there's a certain personality set of one or the other individuals, but we're talking about men right now, the narcissism, the charming, but the sense of self-entitlement where they can just burst out, be a bully, blow anybody away because that's how they feel. And it doesn't matter.
You captured it just right.
So besides that, I'd love listeners to know what are some of the things, and we talked about your experience, that inspired you to write Accidents of Marriage.
Well, actually, it seems that everything I write comes from a germ that grows. That's a terrible word to use, but that's the truth of it. It's one moment. And the beginning of Accidents of Marriage came from a rotary. I don't know if you have rotaries there in L.A.
I don't know if we do. I don't think we do.
Roundabouts, they call them in Ireland, where you're driving in a circle to get, you know, it's sort of all roads converge into one circle. Anyway, they're pretty heart pounding.
Yes.
And I'm not the bravest driver in the world, which is why I'll never drive in L.A. So this idea came from a rotary I drew on each day on the way to work. And work was, like you said, running anti-violence classes for batterers. Mm-hmm. And they were adjudicated to a certified batter intervention program where I worked.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm a timid driver, and my husband isn't.
Yes.
And like so many men, he becomes a different person when he drives, as though each time he gets on the road, he's surprised once again that there are other people on the road.
Really?
And when he gets impatient, I often say to him about the person in front of him, that could be me driving that car.
Ooh, good one. Good one, Randy.
So going... Well, it's so true.
Yeah.
So going around the scary rotary one day on the way to work with my violent men, I thought about how many of them thought that their accidents were out of their control. And that they had nothing to do with it. And I thought about, you know, the ways that there are just ripples that go out, and Accidents of Marriage began from that thought.
Interesting.
The novel also carries a lot of pieces of the work I did with the batterers, from being a bartender for many years, from friends and from family, and from the worst pieces of my own life.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I could go on and on. Because so many of our own marriages, at one time or another, are marred by giving into rage, to explosions of temper.
Yeah. We all
do. So many of us know... just by the sound of the key in the lock, the way our spouse is going to be for the night.
That's true. That's really true. So just basically your life experiences, and oh my goodness, you were a bartender. You were a therapist, girl.
Being a bartender was actually really interesting, because men will talk in a way, and this is a small neighborhood bar. If you knew Boston at all, you know it's a city of neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And this particular neighborhood is Mission Hill, very working class.
Yeah.
And it was a sort of a mix of, you know, people from the neighborhood, the residents from the local hospital, who's right in the middle of all the hospitals. And after a while, you're ignored.
Yes.
You're just serving the beers.
Yes.
And so you hear everything.
Oh, yeah.
Much more than you want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. So... I don't want to be a, you know, spoiler alert, but I do want to give people a little bit of a taste of what your book, Accidents of Marriage, is about. So can you just sort of share a brief synopsis of the novel?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I would love to. Thanks.
Great.
Accidents of Marriage is a novel that examines one question is, when is a marriage too broken to fix?
Yes.
It's the story of a family on the edge and how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
For Maddie, it's told from three points of views. One is the wife, Maddie, and the love of her husband, Ben, is both her blessing and her curse.
Right.
He's brilliant and charming. He's a lawyer who defends the poor and the hopeless, but he can turn into a raging bull when crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And despite her training as a social worker, she's never sure what will cross him. So right. She keeps this fragile peace by vacillating between tiptoeing around him and asserting herself for the sake of their three children until one rainy day when Ben's temper gets the best of him and the consequences leave her in the hospital fighting for her life.
And in that hospital and in her recovery, but we won't tell the end. we won't say a word. You know, she has a lot of to think about. She goes through many aha moments, you know, within herself. And, you know, I think this is what happens sometimes. Well, sometimes it doesn't, because some women just continue to, and men who are bullied. Come on, guys, don't be texting me nasty stuff. But you know, some people who are, let's just say, battered, who are verbally abused. And, you know, they're not physically, he may not have slapped her, but he does rage. He does slam things and throw things. And, you know, that's scary. It's scary stuff to be around. So I think a lot of people just kind of cope with it in whatever way they can. But many women just kind of pull back. And like your character, Maddie, you know, she vacillates between managing her outbursts with Xanax and sometimes asserting herself for the kids and tiptoeing around him. So it's really a fascinating study to read about her.
I think what happens is that in cases like this, so often the families will become hostages of somebody's temper.
Yes.
And which is why in some ways it's based on marriages of so many people I know or have known.
Yes.
And you're right. Sometimes it's the husband. Sometimes it's the wife.
Yes.
Occasionally it's both.
Yep.
And I really believe that it happens everywhere. I don't think it's them and us.
Right.
I think there's a continuum from unchecked rage to offloading mood to huffing a puff.
Yeah.
And when I first started working with batterers, with guys who were, you know, sent by the courts to this program, I thought it was the them and us kind of thing. You know, that these were the bad guys, and I was the good one coming into, you know, like Mother Teresa coming in to save these people.
Right, sure.
And then I realized after working with them, just a brief time, I got more self-examination than I probably wanted and realized how many, even though I had never hit my children, I had vowed I never would because there was some hitting in my family, much too much, and I never did, but I yelled at them.
Sure. Yeah, sometimes.
And I realized, looking back, that, my goodness, when I yelled at them, it had nothing to do with teaching them or helping them.
Sure.
It was just offloading my own rage.
Sure.
And I scared them.
Yes.
And so I think it's a continuum, and we are all on that line at some point.
Well, bless your heart. I mean, we all get to the point of, you know, feeling whatever the issue may be, out of control. You know, we do project our own, you know, stuff onto our kids and our spouses and our friends. But I mean, it really is difficult sometimes to, you know, try to keep calm at all times and explain the reasoning behind why we feel upset and angry. You know, it's just hard to go there sometimes. And we just kind of blurt it out, and our kids and or spouses end up kind of feeling like, whoa, this is scary.
And what so often we don't understand, or we don't want to understand, and it's what I worked on these guys with for so long, is the control is there.
Yeah.
It's not that you're out of control, it's that you're choosing not to use control.
Boy, is that true. Woo. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Michelle. That's me. And also my special guest today is Randi Susan Myers. She's an award-winning author, has three novels out. Her latest is Accidents of Marriage, and it's great. It's about a husband who has rage issues and a wife trying to cope with it with children dealing with that issue. Sweet little daughter, by the way, in the book. It's just, oh, bless her heart. You really get attached. This is a great book. It is a novel, but it is based on a lot of true stories. Are any of the characters, I love to pry, and if you don't want to say this, I'm sorry. I just, are any of the characters based on people that you knew personally?
Well, also, I'll preface this, Michelle, by saying this. Any author you speak to from here on in who says there's nothing based on anybody anywhere is lying to you. Big fat liars.
Yeah.
Because any decent author has the emotional resonance of their life that they're tapping into.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yes.
I'm not saying there's factually not factually, there is not incidents that I can say, yes, this happened and this happened. But the emotional resonance is there all over the place. I really, I like books that are, that reach deep into the honest zone. Yeah. Ones that where if there was like a church quiet, people are going,
That's right.
And I think, though, in order to write that kind of book, and I hope I do, you have to get the reader over your shoulder, the reader on your shoulder off of your shoulder.
Yes.
And too often people keep that reader there. And so because they're afraid that people will think it's them, well, this is how I operate. I know readers think everybody's me.
Yeah.
I'm the one who had the affair. I'm the one who was cheated on. I'm the abuser. I'm the abusee. You say it. I'm it.
Yep.
So I don't worry about what I'm writing. You know, I know what my relationship is with my family, and I'm fine. Yeah. So, yes, there is emotional resonance from everybody. I'm sure, I hope I pulled in pieces of my daughters when they were teenagers, when they were really angry at me.
Sure.
I pulled in times in relationships when I was terrified, and I pulled in times when I lost my own temper, and then I hope I blew it up into a huge stew.
Yep. Yep. And I love it. You're honest. I mean, you're saying, hey, and I'll bet, you know, of course, many of these insights that Maddie comes to realize are about you, too. I mean, you've really, wow.
Oh, I hope so, because she gets awfully smart by the end.
She sure does. She sure does, and I'm glad. You know, you've said, I'm going to quote you now here. Every man has a bad boy somewhere, and every woman has to deal with it, and sometimes it goes too far. So I have worked with many bad boy types in my psychological practice. What are your thoughts about this personality type? Sometimes I call them narcissists because they kind of tend to share some of those characteristics. Why do some women find these guys so attractive?
Well, I think that part of it we can say is psychological. We're recreating drama in our own lives and our past. I think that's certainly part of it.
Yeah.
But I think another very large, and I have a personal PhD in bad boys.
Really?
I had more than my share. But I think so much of it is actually a societal sort of bizarre training that we go through.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at some of the shows that we become so attached to, like The Sopranos with, you know, Tony Soprano, who we just latched onto him as this seething, sexy kind of guy, which is bizarre when you think about it, right? He's this murderer, killer, but, you know, so overweight. Imagine a woman playing that role into being sexy, but we're drawn to him. Yeah. But yet in real life, James Gandolfini, may he rest in peace, wasn't like that. He spent time helping soldiers. Breaking Bad, when you think about Bryan Cranston, the role he played.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're locked onto this, you know, killer meth dealer.
Yeah.
And in real life, he collects baseball memorabilia.
Right. Right. Exactly.
The other night, my husband and I watched, rewatched Cool Hand Luke. I don't know if you remember that movie with Paul Newman.
Oh, I sure do. That was a really good film.
That was a really good film. And I watched it, remembering watching it when I was very young, finding Paul Newman, the role, the guy, so sexy. Well, I mean, he's still sexy. There's no doubt it. You know, Paul Newman could read the phone book and we'd find it sexy.
Yeah, that's right.
But the character he plays, Cool Hand Luke, is awful. He's not someone you want to be in a relationship with. And we imprint on this Cool Hand Luke guy as sexy, this, you know, aloof, cold, hard drinking guy who could never make a commitment to anybody in his whole life, including his own mother. And what was Paul Newman like in real life? He started a food company where all the profits go to, all the profits go to nonprofits. So we learn it in a funny way. We learn it, and so we have to unlearn it.
Here's
the advice I always give. From as a mother, a sister, a grandmother, a friend, and somebody who worked with the bad boys for a long time. Choose kind over thrilling. It wears much better. Choose responsible over devil may care. It'll keep you and your kids warm and safe at night. And most of all, choose a man who wants to be your friend, not one who will be your lifelong home improvement project.
Well said. Exactly. That's so true, Randy, because I mean, it is really, you know, that excitement and that thrill and that sexiness and all that. It, after a while, you can get stuck in that cycle and just sort of, wait a minute, how did I get here? What is this? And it does kind of wear off. And then we get to the point where it's, we're just defending ourselves psychologically at all costs.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of, you know, goes into, how can I control myself? How can I, I'm going to take another Xanax. I'm going to just protect the kids. I mean, you know. So, what are some of the characteristics that you said? We just briefly touched on it, but some of those characteristics, and I'm fascinated with reading the DSM, you know, the Diagnostic Statistical mm-hmm. Manual of Mental Disorders, because, you know, there's all these characteristics that they deem you have to meet, or these criteria, to be a bad boy, a narcissist, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share with listeners what some of these traits are that they all have in common?
Well, the number one trait I noticed, and I'm taking here the sampling of the, you know, 10 years of working with guys who were sent by the court, so we're talking the, you know, extreme of the spectrum.
Yep.
But the one thing that I noticed in them, and also, you know, in life, seeing guys like who were not necessarily even abusive, but so self-centered, was A, being very self-centered, and B, the most important thing I saw was how they considered themselves victims.
Whoa.
Nothing was ever their fault.
Ah, yes.
Everything happened to them. They were never the agents of their own lives. I found that really fascinating.
Yes.
How they could blame everything on anybody but themselves.
Mm. You'll never hear, you know what, I messed up and I'm so sorry. I got to take responsibility for that one. You'll never hear that, will you?
No, and the reason that I think that is, because I actually think it's not like none of these guys are capable of change. I think they are.
Sure.
I think one of the things that then is the cousin to it is the denial of having done anything wrong. Even to the fact that you'll often hear a woman saying to a man, please don't yell at me. I hate it when you yell, and the guy will yell at her. I'm not yelling!
right.
Which I find, we've all been there, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But the denial comes from a shame, and that I find pretty, not unless you're talking about psychopaths, but your normal everyday abusive guy. There's a big amount of shame that you've hurt somebody you love, because these are guys who've done terrible things to people they love.
Right.
And there's and nobody wants to face up to that.
Right.
So you'll deny it, whether to yourself or to everybody.
Right.
And so that's why they would say to me things like, well, she pushed my buttons. And I'll say, well, please show me your buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to accidentally push them.
No way.
Exactly. So it's always the passive voice. She, you know, this was done to me. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things. The other things I would always look for, people who are extremely jealous, mm-hmm. people who want to track your every move, people who don't trust you out there on your own, mm-hmm. people who are overly needy, people who try to get into a relationship too much too soon. People controlling your money, people who wanting to look in your phone to see who you call, basically a lack of trust that you are a person out, can be a person apart from them.
Yes. Yes. Those are really common characteristics. And, you know, who knows? I mean, we sometimes, as people interested in psychology, want to delve into their past and why, who controlled them, who made them feel like they were out of control, or did they inherit the gene that has no emotion or empathy? Did they, you know, that's chemical, that's science, you know, they found that as well, or was it both? Whatever
go ahead, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead, no, you go. Go ahead, Randy.
I think that's a really important point, Michelle, because, you know, being that I was in a relationship with the courts, I was given my word that I was going to work with these guys. So when I found the guys that who are on that end of the spectrum with, they really don't have, weren't sorry one bit. They never would be.
Mm-hmm.
They were not going to change. I would send them back to the court because I didn't want to be in a collusion with them, pretending that I was offering something that I couldn't offer.
Exactly.
And you know that when you're doing this work, after all, you can pretty much feel who these people are right from the back of your neck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to See, although I'm not saying I didn't get fooled sometimes, sure, but when I wasn't being fooled. And one of the things that I would always use with the guys as a way to show them, because I used analogy and board work and examples to help them see things out of themselves. So I'd ask them, how many of you guys have work? Mm-hmm. And most of them would raise their hands. Mm-hmm. Do you have bosses? They raise their hands. Yeah. How many of you have problems with your bosses? They'd all raise their hands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, well, so when's the last time that you hit your boss?
Mm.
And nobody would raise their hand. Well, how come? Don't you get mad at your boss? Well, yeah. Well, why don't you hit him? Well, don't be stupid, Randy. Well, no, I mean, do you love your boss more than you love your wife?
Right.
Is that why you don't hit your boss? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, this was leading them to, you know, the hierarchy of power.
Yes, exactly.
Which we did on the board all the time, you know, as an example of women. And they would slowly realize that they could use their control with their boss, because their boss had power over them.
Yes, exactly.
People would say to me, didn't you ever get nervous working with these guys? And honestly, only once ever in 10 years.
Wow.
And because I, in the hierarchy of power, I was above them.
Yes. And you kept that in mind, and you knew, you know, how they operated. So,
I knew that they were, I mean, they, and also, you know, we got along fine. You know, I wasn't threatening them, I wasn't, you know, whatever. Yeah. They were not going to, people are abusive to meet some goal of theirs.
Yes.
You know, and I was not included in that cycle.
Right. Luckily. Thank goodness, you know. But
well, otherwise, I don't think I would have done the work too long.
No, exactly. I don't either, Randy. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Randy Susan Meyer. She's an award-winning author and a wonderful novelist. She writes about real people, real families, real issues that we all go through. And her latest book we're talking about is called Accidents of Marriage. And in a bit, we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of her book and her other books, by the way, which are really good. So if you have any questions or comments, you can email me directly here at the station, docmichelle@AOL, or thestraighttalkdoc@gmail. You can do that if you're shy. Or if you want to get your voice on the air here and have a question for Randy or myself, you like the way I throw this into you, Randy.
I wasn't expecting that one. Okay.
Let's go for it.
Well, I had some experience. That's okay.
Yeah, you did. 323-203-0815. And now the question also I wanted to ask you, we were just on the tip of that, is you have had so much experience and you did work with the courts and these batterers. So are these people capable of change? You know, I mean,
yes.
Really?
I don't think I could have continued the work I did if I didn't think that they were capable of change.
Okay.
The question always is how many of them are going to choose to use that capability? And that is the biggest thing, and which takes to change. And I would say this to them, to change requires a lot of courage.
Yeah, it does.
And they had enough courage to hit weaker people, did they have the courage to change themselves?
Mm-hmm.
What we worked on was tools for change.
Mm-hmm.
We offered them.
Yes.
You know, we gave them the basic skills that they could use to remain nonviolent.
Right. Right.
And then it was up to them. And also it was up to them whether or not they chose to remain sober for those for whom that was a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we could give them tools, whether or not they use them, all up to them. You can't force change on somebody.
Yeah, that's so true. It's really, and to me, you know, that personality type is one of the most difficult to try. And you can't change them, like you said, but to try to encourage them to utilize certain tools to manage their anger and go back and have a little bit of insight about why they do the things they do. And boy, it's a tough crowd.
And the other piece of it that I think is really important for your audience to know is doing this kind of work wasn't just to offer tools for change to the guys. It was a coordinated community response. We work with the Department of Social Services, with the courts, with probation, with the police department. The guys were ordered to the program for a year. During that year, we offered a lot of services to the women. Often, what the success that we had was getting the women to get out of the relationship safely.
That makes a lot
of sense.
While
the guys were in program with us.
Oh,
so our goal wasn't to quote-unquote save marriages.
Mm-hmm.
our goal was to hope the guys remain nonviolent, but most of all, the goal was to keep the family safe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's what you have to do, of course. So to clarify for some of the listeners, they may not understand, there is a difference. I mean, abuse is abuse. Let's get real about that. But what, in your opinion, is the difference between, say, verbal abuse, because, you know, we all have been exposed to that and done it ourselves, probably. Emotional abuse, that's something else, and domestic violence.
It's like a great big, like I said before, it's sort of a continuum, with most people considering, and generally it is, violence, physical abuse being the most heinous. Mm-hmm. But it's also very painful to be a victim of emotional or verbal abuse. And they generally go hand in hand, although sometimes the verbal abuse is simply the silent treatment. Mm-hmm. But it's when you are, when your spouse swears at you, calls you names, constantly criticizes you, walks around with this huge cloud over their heads so that everybody in the family is miserable. Mm-hmm. It's taking out the mood that they have from work on the entire family, or especially on one. It's controlling somebody financially.
Yeah.
It's making somebody feel constrained in their own home. It's forcing somebody to live in the corner of their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so true. That is so true. Guys, if you want to call in and have a question for Randy, Susan Myers, author of her latest book, novel, Accidents of Marriage, about living with a verbally abusive, a violent guy, and how to survive it, give us a call, 2-323-203-0815, or emails are coming in here, and I have some good ones I'm sorting through, and it's not because yours are not good. I'm trying to get to them in order as they have come in, guys. So be patient if I don't get to you today. All right. We have a really interesting email that came in from Jason. And
I hope it's not my son-in-law.
Oh, my God. You know, that's a very popular name. So does he know you're on the air today, Randy? No, just kidding. Oh, dear. All right. It says, "Hey, Randy, I'd love to read your book. I'm a 32-year-old guy who grew up in a home where my dad came home every night after work screaming. He was mad at all of us. My mom sometimes engaged, but I found myself and my two siblings hiding under the bed every night until he cooled down. We found out later he was cheating on my mom and was defending his affair. Now that I am a 23-year-old guy going with a nice lady, 23, oh, I guess I, you know what I did? I think I reversed
it.
I reversed it. Yeah, now that I'm a 23-year-old guy, going with a nice lady, I tend to lash out at her when I feel like I'm being hurt. Sometimes I get a little too intense and yell. Am I going to be like my dad?" Oh, boy. That's a good one, Jason. Thank you. I don't know about that.
Well, you want to take that or can I?
Go for it, Randy. It's yours.
I'll give you a little break for a few minutes. First of all, no, you are, Jason, you are absolutely not in a position where you have to repeat your father's mistakes. One of the things that I always said to the guys I worked with is most guys who are abusive come from abusive homes, but not all people who come from abusive homes are abusive. You choose the journey that you're going to take. Mm-hmm. What one often does need to do is to learn the tools, and they're pretty simple, a lot of them, to remain calm. One of them is something called self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is when horrible things come into your head, and they all do, you know, "I can't stand that, you know, XYZ, you know, I'd love to, XYZ hill," or you, there's always that moment when a very negative voice comes in. What one has to learn to do is to snap to, get that negative voice and replace it with a cooler voice.
Right.
With positive self-talk, like, "This is the woman I love. I don't want to lose this relationship. I don't want to hurt somebody I love. I don't want to be like my father." Mm. Whatever it is, you write it down. Write down positive self-talk and have it there for the occasion. The other thing I advise men to do is to go to sites, like about domestic violence for men, where they give you tools for change. There's a program called MOVE in Atlanta that's very good.
Ooh, good one.
There's Emerge in Boston and Common Purpose. They're all over the country. There's more than a few that you can get to. The other thing is to there's a wonderful author named Patricia Evans.
Mm, yes.
And she's written a lot of books about verbal abuse and verbal abuse survivors, and I think it's useful for men and women. Mm-hmm. And she actually has a site called verbalabuse.com.
Yes. Excellent.
I would very much encourage that. And the final thing I would say to Jason would be, learn to control yourself by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count on your girlfriend's actions to control you. You have to remain non-abusive no matter how people act to you.
Yes.
I often will say that I really want my moral compass to be who I am, not who I am in relation to how people are to me.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's a really good point. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for emailing us. And I'd also say, too, and I think you said it all, Randy, you've given some wonderful tips. And, you know, sometimes we have to, the self-talk's fabulous, too. And maybe, Jason, ask yourself, what are you trying to defend so much? What's so important that you have to do it in that particular manner? What's so important to lash out, you know, to express your feelings in a yelling or what did you say? I guess you said out of control manner. Go ahead, Randy.
If you don't mind, I'm going to leap on that. The other thing I did with the guys, and you have that's a perfect segue, was I had them do homework. They would take an action of something they did that was bad and shameful. Because they all admitted eventually, not most of them, that it was shameful. Yeah. And say, okay, what was the action? What was the goal? And then what was the actual effect?
Mm-hmm.
Because between the goal of what they wanted and the effect that really happened were a million miles.
Yes. Yes. So true.
And then think about what your mission really is and how could you better have worked to get that mission or that goal accomplished.
Yep. That's right. And really do think about getting some therapy. Why?
Yeah.
What the heck, Jason? You know, might as well do some self-exploration. And, you know, you were modeled that behavior by Dad. You saw it. Sometimes that's the way we learn how to get our feelings across. But you know that's not right. That's why you're writing into the show. You feel bad. So thank you. Thank you so much for emailing us, Jason. And God bless you. I hope you work through this. All right. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch here. And I'm speaking to Randy Susan Myers, a special guest. She is an amazing novelist. She has three terrific books out. Actually, four. She co-authored the other one we'll talk about. This is called Accidents of Marriage. Just came out this September. And it's a really good novel about a woman sort of coping with a man who she's married to who has is kind of a rageaholic. And he doesn't know how to control his anger. And it's gotten her into a car accident, actually, because he raged and crashed, and there she is healing, and she has a 14-year-old daughter caught in the middle of all this, trying to cope with it. Fascinating story based on a lot of real true stories, and, of course, Randy's working with a lot of batterers and life experiences in general. We'll tell you how to pick up the book in just a little bit, guys. The thing that I really loved, you know, it's the aha moment in the book where you go, yes, we talked about this a little earlier, Randy. It's like, yay, Maddie, her journey of trying to heal, you know, from the traumatic injury, which took a long time, brought her to so many insights. So can you share some of those insights that she came to about that relationship and herself?
Well, I think that's the largest moments for her and the hardest was, and her filters are lost after the accidents, and she realized that she'd been burying her truth.
Yeah.
She'd been burying the truth of her whole marriage. She'd been burying it in pills, in denial, and even in exercise. And she would do anything she could to pretend that it wasn't happening. And she, in fact, worked with women who were victims of domestic violence, and she, every time she saw a connection, she would just throw it away.
Yep.
So the biggest thing is realizing only by facing your truth can you heal.
Yes. That is so true. And she did. And we don't want to give that the real tasty part away in the book. But, you know, she did. She faced this. I mean, this is she did bear the truth of the whole. I mean, this was her burden that she had to deal with, and she did cope with it for so many years until, boom, look what happened. Seriously injured. And sometimes we don't want to get to that point to where we're seriously injured by someone's
oh goodness no
anger. But this, you know, we don't want to get to the point of danger and all that to have insight. So it's really important for a lot of, you know, women and men. Guys, I'm not discriminating. Don't want nasty letters or emails, please. But I'm just saying, you know, that the majority of batterers are men. But this book particularly we're talking about is the story of a guy who does have, you know, emotional outbursts and rather narcissistic issues. But I think it's really about getting the help you need and the support systems and really, you know, before it gets dangerous, before it gets out of control to where it, you know, it can cause, and of course the harm to the children, you know. So really a good book and fascinating stuff. And I think it's wonderful that you have had all of this experience that you can share with other people, Randy, and that you do also in your other books. By the way, The Comfort of Lies was great, a best-selling book, and also The Murderer's Daughters. Wow. I'm thinking, Randy really had a lot of creativity going on in that, and you know, but based on a lot of real people, based on a lot of characters.
And I guess I just love exploring the dark side. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me, sort of unearthing truths from looking at the. It's people sometimes will say to me, even people in my family, "Why don't you write happy books?"
Yeah,
and I think where we learn is by looking at the dark side.
Yeah.
And then also, in terms of, for me, for drama, I am, you know, I'm an addictive reader. I read mm-hmm. all the time, and I really like those kind of dark, intense shows like The Sopranos, like Breaking Bad. And that's what keeps us so hooked, is like,
yes.
Is seeing the bad things that can happen. Exactly. Yeah, and I enjoy writing it. I really do. I think it just helps me a lot by just making these incredibly dense, dark worlds.
Yeah. Yes, it does. But also, you know, there's always a lesson. There's always an aha moment. You know, there's multiple lessons. And
oh, so, yeah.
You know, it is really, to a certain extent, therapeutic. But for you, writing it. But
It is. And I really become the people. I always write from various points of views. I think everybody in a family system or any kind of social system, everybody is the star of their own particular show.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking a system where I write from, say, three or four different points of view,
mm-hmm.
I yes. get to experience every point of view, and I am forced when I'm writing to believe that point of view that I'm in at that moment.
Yes, exactly. No, that's what, right. And, you know, if we have knowledge about and read about and you write about, you know, the dark characters and also as portrayed, like you said, in some of the things that are going on. Ah, I'm still catching up on the series of The Breaking Bad. And you know, there's lots of other television shows that have sort of the same kind of energy of the evil characters and, you know, that kind of thing. Ray Donovan, you know, ooh, that's a real...
Ooh. That's a show.
Woo, that's a show. Well written as well.
Yep.
But you know, there really is, you know, a lot of lessons to be learned for ourselves. So my point to all this is that sometimes we need the contrast of that evil, the darkness, what compels us to become these people. We need that contrast. We need to see that to know the other side of what can be done. And the kindness and the loving and the calm lives that we can live.
Right? I think one of the things I've learned with this now, my third book, and now I'm halfway through my next book,
mm-hmm.
Is I think I've come to really feel there is a pull of good and evil in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that we choose, that, and that we do have agency. We can choose which side to go to, the dark or the light.
I agree.
And I love exploring that. I just do.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you do that so well. Speaking about which, where can listeners find out more about you, Randy, and get your latest novel, Accidents of Marriage? And, of course, they can also pick up your other books, which are really good reads, The Murderer's Daughters, The Comfort of Lies. And by the way, if you guys are writers and want to do, you know, some exploration on your own, she co-authored the book What to Do Before Your Book Launch. So these are all good.
If writers can go to my website.
Uh-oh, I think we just lost her. Wait a minute. Let me try again. She's got to be back here. Where is she? We'll try this again. Let's see here. Let's pull her back. See if
you can read any of the first chapters of my novel.
There you go.
There's buy links for all of my novels there. Yeah. It should be in all the bookstores because it was in an independent bookstore's choice for the month of September. And it will be in all your Barnes & Nobles and every online publisher.
Distributor. Great. Randy, we had a little glitch at the first part. Can you give the best website people can find you on and get your books?
Absolutely. RandySusanMeyers.com, RandySusanMeyers, RandySusanMeyers.com. You can go there. You can connect with me on Goodreads from there, on my Facebook page, on Twitter, and find all the links to buy my books from there.
Great. Randy, it's about that time. We got to go.
Shell, this was a true pleasure. You do a great job. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And thanks for really helping people out with your latest book, too, Accidents of Marriage. Good read. It's my pleasure. Well, take
thanks
good care.
You be well.
Yeah, you too. And I'll be looking forward to your next novel.
Thanks a lot. I hope to return then. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye now. Alrighty, guys, that's about it for today. Oh, fascinating stuff. Really informative and, you know, therapeutic. Really therapeutic for you to find out about, you know, unhealthy relationships and batters. All right, gotta go. You can stay on the couch. More great shows here on LA Talk Radio. I always say do take care of yourself first, please, and then you'll be great for other people. That's the way it works in the world, okay? Not being narcissistic. You know what I mean, guys. All right. Back next week, another great show on helping you get yourself together with your own self-esteem. Take good care. Bye-bye now.